The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter Brian Berga. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/highspotpodcast, as well as all other social media platforms like Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast. And visit the brand new spanking website, highspotpodcast.com, which is updated daily. Lots to talk about here in the world of professional wrestling. What's going on, trendsetter? How you doing?
Doing good, man. A little under the weather, but definitely fighting through it. Asking the question, what would Jericho do? And Jericho definitely continue on with the show. Guys, also don't forget, we're available. All our episodes are available on iTunes, so leave a 5-star rating review. Also, you can get it on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play as well. And also, don't forget, we're part of the various networks of Cheap Pops Podcast Network, B+ Player Radio, and The Shining Wizards.
Yeah, and on the review part, it only takes a few seconds, so leave a comment. Leave a review, a 5-star rating, hopefully.
Just give us a thumbs up.
Exactly. Give us a thumbs up. Let us know we're doing a good job. It'll help us in what content we provide for you. Also, you can visit our High Spot Podcast YouTube channel. It's up and running. We've got exclusive interviews with such stars as UFC welterweight Colby Covington, who called out Tyron Woodley this past Saturday at WrestlePro. We'll get into that. Former Sanity member Sawyer Fulton, Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champs LAX, Alberto El Patron, Sienna the Savage, Bullet Club members Marty Scurll and Adam Hangman Page. What's going on with the Bullet Club? Not the best
the Bullet
of times
Club is fine.
Right now.
They're fine, Jeff.
Plus, you can catch videos from the High Spot Podcast miniseries, The Adventures of the Trendsetter, as he heads to AVN, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, and he's talking a lot of people in the adult film industry. Started off with Luna Star. He's got a couple of other interviews from Exotica, so make sure you watch that. Lots to talk about here. And, of course, the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, so happy to be here. Man, what can you say, man? Better days are coming for the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Well, I think, like I said, the first episode we did, Jeff, in 2018, I think you and I had done so much momentum going into 2017, so it's nice it's picking up. And we're consistently getting busy now in our schedules, which is a good thing, which makes 2018 seem to be a really fulfilling year for us.
Yeah, so we'll get in depth of what we're doing on the next couple of weeks later on in the show. But now let's congratulate the Philadelphia Eagles in their win over the New England Patriots. Yes, they beat the mighty Patriots to win their first NFL championship, so congratulations to them. That city is still probably recovering from the parade, and just hand it to the Eagles, man. They really overcame obstacles, and Nick Foles, who started this, didn't start the season as the quarterback after Carson Wentz got hurt, everyone calling them underdogs, and you know what happens? Underdogs, they find a way to win and claw, and congratulations that go out to the Eagles and their fans. But boy, they really burn that city down, huh?
Oh, they burn it
down! So as the season comes to a close, another NFL season, which, I don't know, it's harder for us to get into, but
well, the question is, Jeff, when do pitchers and catchers report?
That is true. That is true.
That's always the big question after the big game's done and the NFL season's over. The next question is, before you ask the question, I can't believe I ate it all, or why did you let me eat that or drink that? It's when do pitchers and catchers report now? Spring training, baseball's in the air now. I mean, that's the next upcoming, besides the Olympics, it's the next upcoming sport that everybody wants to talk about.
And we got a great show for you today. We've got Colby Covington, UFC welterweight champion, who called out Tyron Woodley. We're able to talk to him there at WrestlePro, so great audio there as he calls out Tyron Woodley and gives his thoughts on Ronda Rousey in WWE. Plus, we've got also Brad Shepard from BodySlams.net. Who will join us, talk some WWE, as well as Chad Minnis from Standalone Wrestling. He'll give us a few minutes and talk about his promotion, Liftoff Standalone Wrestling. On February 24th, they'll have Tennille, a.k.a. Emma. We had a chance to meet her at WrestlePro. Awesome person. So we'll get into that with Chad as she headlines against Brittany Blake. So another women's main event. Main eventing Standalone Wrestling Liftoff. And we'll talk about that also with Chad. So we got a loaded show. Lots to talk about. But did you see the video with the Eagles and their fans? How crazy is that?
You know, I always make the joke sometimes you want to celebrate like you've been there before. And, hey, I understand the Philadelphia Eagle fans have never been there before. But unfortunately, it just like it becomes the moniker right now, Philadelphia fans. I'm not trying to insult any Eagles or Philly fans out there, but you know they don't have the best reputation in terms of celebrating things when you're really going out there and you're defacing property and doing things of that nature. That's not necessarily a quote unquote you would say a classy move to do, but to each their own. You know, you just always hope that when things like this happen, it always, you know, goes for the better for the organization, goes better for the town. But unfortunately, that's what happens when you're partying on Broad Street. We were down Broad Street.
It's so funny, right? We kind of gave them good luck when we went there for takeover.
Yeah,
we were at Broad Street looking for grab a bite to eat, and
that was the biggest mistake we ever made. We should have just gone straight home. At least for me, Broad Street is really busy. It's the equivalent of like when you and I have been to here in Jersey, towards the Hoboken area, North Bergen.
Or if you're in the city sometimes.
If you go in the city, down that area.
Midtown, yeah.
Yeah.
So congratulations to the Eagles. You guys see the Jason Kelce interview. Not the interview. He kind of went up to the podium and kind of gave like a shoot interview about the underdogs, talked about the whole organization, the coach, the players, how they were underdogs, and kind of said a big F you to the critics and everybody. And kind of, it was awesome, man. He could run for mayor. He could drop the mic and he joined WWE. Well,
he did a pipe bomb.
Yeah, pipe bomb.
Basically did a pipe bomb, and they're like the modern day version of Rocky Balboa, basically, and they did it. So,
you know, I'm glad you said pipe bomb because talking about pipe bomb and the person that kind of invented the word pipe bomb, CM Punk is in the news, and it looks like he is set to take on Mike Johnson at UFC 225 in Chicago in June. And I'm thinking, okay, so this is going to be a second fight. It's been a long time since we've seen him last. And just your thoughts on CM Punk signing this matchup, supposedly. Dana White kind of doing it in his hometown of Chicago.
Oh, boy.
What do you think here? What are the chances he comes out with a victory here? I don't even know Mike Johnson. This is another guy that's, you know, in the Mickey Gall conversation, and he's easy. Like, what do you think?
I don't know much about Mike Johnson particularly, but when it comes to CM Punk, it's like, yeah, from his first fight to now, you would like to think he's improved. But let's be honest, Jeff, when it comes to, you know, whether you're diving in the world of professional wrestling, whether we have that crossover appeal from mixed martial artists to wrestlers or wrestlers to mixed martial arts, it's a huge learning curve. So, you know, this is something that if you're a wrestler or you're a mixed martial artist, you've been doing it your whole life. So it becomes second nature to you. The moment you start thinking of things or starting to try to react to certain scenarios and doing that mind process thing, it's going to be bad for you. For CM Punk, I don't really see a good side of this. You hope he lasts longer than he did the first match. That would be a victory in itself. He shows some improvement in his striking, in his ground game. He gets past that first round. But I don't think there's going to be a success story in terms that, you know, Dana White will look at the numbers. If he draws a lot of money, then there might be a reason, even if he loses, to continually use him. But I think this is more of Dana White being good friends with CM Punk, saying, all right, listen, I'll give you one more shot, and that's it. And if CM Punk is serious about this type of career, then after this is all over, he'll start working in the amateur ranks and kind of build his way back up again.
You think this is his last shot?
Yeah, if he loses and he's embarrassed the way he was in the first fight against Mickey Gall, this is his last shot at the UFC. Maybe Bellator might be next, who knows? Bellator is obviously second to the UFC. They definitely need some name power there to kind of drive up their promotion. But again, I think this is his last shot to be successful in the UFC. Otherwise, he can continue his career in mixed martial arts all he can, but again, everybody keeps saying he should go back to professional wrestling. Not necessarily WWE, but go back to pro wrestling.
A lot of people like Ring of Honor and New Japan think that's the way to go. And he would make money, no doubt about it.
Definitely would make money and do something that he's more comfortable doing than mixed martial arts.
Now, we did get a chance to meet a UFC fighter at Russell Pro in Rahway, New Jersey this past Saturday, and that was Colby Covington. He is the number 3 ranked welterweight in the UFC. He basically called out Tyron Woodley. If you take a look at the video now where he had a kind of a, I guess like a mock match or something like that against Tyquil Woodley. It's all over the internet. You just got to, you know, YouTube it and you'll see it there. Colby Covington making his case to fight Tyron Woodley in the next welterweight fight. But Dana White's got to, you know, realize, is this what I want to do? So we were able to talk to Colby Covington. It was a great conversation. We talked to him for a few minutes. Talked about Tyron Woodley. Talked about Impact Wrestling because he does wrestle, you know, on occasion for Impact Wrestling. And also he got his thoughts on Ronda Rousey. So we had a chance to talk to Colby Covington and hear his thoughts on just the whole night. Brace for Impact Wrestle Pro Rahway, New Jersey. Here is the villain, Colby Covington. Hi, Spot Podcast here at Wrestle Pro Rahway, New Jersey. We're here with the man, Colby Covington. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, so you are, of course, the number 3 ranked welterweight in the UFC. So you have come here to Wrestle Pro because you have somewhat of a challenge here tonight. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've issued a challenge to the current UFC welterweight champion and number 1 fighter in the world, Tyron Woodley. You know, he's been sitting on the sidelines gossiping in Hollywood, ass-kissing all these stars in Hollywood. I'm out here in the UFC, I'm ass-kicking. So, you know, tonight's the challenge to the champ. You know, I'm the next contender in line, and I'm coming to get my belt tonight.
Talk about here at WrestlePro, this is going to be a huge night, brace for Impact. Just talk about your amateur wrestler. What got you into maybe wanting to get into the professional wrestling aspect of it? What made you? Was it the itch when you were young, or is it something that as you got older, you were like, let me try this?
Just the competition, man. I'm a competitor. I love to compete. So, you know, there's just something about pro wrestling that draws the best out of me, and I want to put on my best performance every time out there.
Now, obviously, there are different spheres from mixed martial arts or competitive like boxing, for example, to professional wrestling. But now you're seeing the transition a lot. I mean, you see examples like Brock Lesnar, CM Punk coming into the UFC, Ronda Rousey now signing with the WWE and kind of making that her full-time gig. What would you say the comparisons are between the two, if there are any comparisons from your experience or from you looking at it from that side?
Yeah. I think they're very similar, you know, the promotion, the lead-up, the build-up to the fights and the matches. You know, there's a lot of experience that you could take from both and take them into one or the other. So, you know, they kind of translate very well. That's why Brock Lesnar can cross over and people like Ronda Rousey can cross over. And even Bobby Lashley, you know, he's an Impact guy himself. He's one of my teammates. So, you know, those guys, they really make a good crossover from MMA to pro wrestling or vice versa.
What are your thoughts on Ronda Rousey joining WWE full-time? That's something that when we heard it, it's full-time gig, we're like, whoa, that's a big investment, a commitment. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are it's good for the sport, but my thoughts are also she marked out so hard in her first interview in the pro wrestling. Like, come on, don't fuck it up for all the fighters, the MMA guys, man. We need you to be who you really are, you know, that heel, you know, the bad guy. I'm a bad guy, so I'm always going to be that person, you know, if you... You know, so I hope she doesn't ruin it for all the MMA fighters.
When it comes to, you know, we were talking about Ronda Rousey making that transition and kind of marking out her first interview. When you guys go out there and you're building up towards a fight and there's a lot of press and a lot of responsibilities there are in terms of kind of being asked the same question over and trying to give a different response because you want to be unique in your answering. So when it comes to that press, do you think it's an easier transition because you're so used to it that to go onto the microphone and step in the middle of that ring with a stick and start talking, does that come natural? Do you think it's still a little bit scary from a fighter's perspective to jump into professional wrestling?
No, I think once you've been in the ring enough or in the cage and done enough promos, you know, you just kind of get used to it. It becomes experience, you know, just like anything. Practice makes perfect, you know. If you want to be the best wrestler or the best fighter, you know, you just got to practice a lot. So, you know, the people that are the best in the ring on the mic are the ones that are practicing a lot, you know. And you see these guys here, you know, Moose, Matt Sydal, KM, Kevin Matthews. These guys are walking around in the bathroom shooting promos daily, you know. There's never a second where they're not practicing or thinking about what they want to say when they're on the mic.
Listen, when you're an MMA guy, trash talking's got to be a big part of it. And one of the things to back it up, growing up or now, who currently do you see? Because if you look at MMA and pro wrestling, a lot of MMA guys maybe won't admit it, but they look at the pro wrestlers and they see the good guys on the mic and they're like, yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of that.
Chael Sonnen's the first one to do that.
Chael, Connor.
Connor McGregor.
Who do you emulate or try to take a little bit out of something to be like, hey, I can use this when I call someone out or tonight maybe that I'm going to call this guy out? Who do you use?
You know, the guy that I grew up with in Oregon is my Oregon bad guy brother, Chael Sonnen. So, you know, we have a serious history together. So I've always taken bits and pieces of what he is. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm my own person, you know. And that's where you got to be unique in your own right, you know. I'm not going to be exactly emulating what he does because I'm just a different person. And that's not me. So, you know, I take a lot of pride in Chael Sonnen. But I also take a lot of pride in being the best that I can be and leaving my own legacy.
Now, leaving your own legacy, it's obviously number three ranked welterweight in the world, obviously wanting to vie to get that opportunity. With these super fights looming, now I'm going to ask you your opinion, what you think on super fights, but in terms of the ranking system, do you feel that, you know, do you feel it's kind of fairly set out there, or do you feel there's always still a struggle constantly to kind of get out there and get your name out there? It's more of what you can you say as opposed to what you can do in the octagon.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of politics in it, you know, just like anything in life, and you know, when you're the champ, you kind of have the power, you know. At the end of the day, the champ has to sign on the dotted line. And Tyrone Woodley, that's something he's scared to do right now. He doesn't want to sign on the dotted line with Colby Chaos Covington because he knows that's going to be the toughest fight of his life. And it's going to be his retirement fight. I'll put him into retirement. So, you know, it's a different story getting the guys to match up and line up on your schedule. And it's a lot of politics. So, you know, hopefully after tonight, he's going to see the potential. And the UFC will see the potential and make this fight happen.
One more for me before we wrap it up, Jeff, and you have another question too, is that from a fighter's perspective, I've always found this interesting because I admire a lot what you guys do. When you go in there, do you go in there with a certain game plan? Is it more of just working on your strengths and weaknesses and going out there and kind of being an open book because you can never dictate what's going to happen when you're in the octagon with somebody?
Yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, I don't really think about strategies. I don't watch film. I don't want to see what he's doing. I'm just going to worry about what I'm going to do. So, you know, when you get in there, you can say, yeah, I'm going to do this strategy. But as soon as you get hit or as soon as he defends a takedown.
It changes.
It changes. Everything is going. So, you know, it's like chess in there. You need to be able to react to a certain move. If he does a certain move, then you need to do another move to counteract that. So, you know, it's not a lot of thinking in there. It's more reacting. And that reacting comes from hours and hundreds of hours of training and game planning and strategies. But, you know, when you're in that octagon, there's no thinking. It's reacting.
Yeah, everybody's planning until they get punched in the face,
exactly.
Basically, right?
Yeah. That's the truth.
2017 was a great year for American Top Team, not only in UFC and MMA, but also as far as, Impact Wrestling. What does 2018 hold for you guys in Impact as well as just, you know, in the outlook? I know Tyrone Woodley is on the horizon. Hopefully, keep our fingers crossed. We want to see that. Let's make it happen, Dana.
Yes.
Let's do that. What's on the horizon for 2018 and Colby Covington?
It's going to be a big year, 2018. I've been saying this since the beginning, man, that I will be the champion this year. And, you know, I'm going to be a dual champion. I'm going to cross over into professional wrestling, take an Impact title, take a WWE title. So, you know, it's a big and bright year for me, for American Top Team.
Can't wait.
Dan Lambert, you know, all the people at American Top Team. But I can tell you this will be the year of chaos. This is my year.
And listen, obviously, we're impressed by what you do in the octagon. Going to be impressed what you do here tonight for WrestlePro. Looking forward to it, man. Appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Appreciate
it, guys.
Colby. Colby Covington, future welterweight champ.
Look out, folks.
Oh, Tyrone. Sorry, man. All right, thanks go out to Colby Covington. Definitely made his case at WrestlePro. That video went viral about him calling out Tyrone Woodley, and glad he gives us a few minutes before the night's festivities at WrestlePro Race for Impact. Talk about the success of WrestlePro, man. That was a great night. Over 1,000 people at the Rahway Rec Center made the news, of course, not only by Colby's video going viral, but also Tennille Dashwood made her first wrestling appearance outside of WWE against Angelina Love. You talk about that combination, and that was made a very memorable night in Rahway, New Jersey.
Well, it was a huge get for WrestlePro. It was a huge get for Pat Buck to get Tennille Dashwood and Colby as well. Just successful all the way around. When you look at it, I don't know what the true numbers are. I mean, they say there are 1,000 people there. You know, you take it for the word that we were there. The place is pretty packed.
It was packed.
It was pretty packed, more than we normally see. So, you know, this is just great news if you're WrestlePro or you're part of the promotion that, you know, now they've had, I think you told me, that the partnership then with Impact is going to continue on. It's just going to mean bigger and better shows for WrestlePro, where the Rahway Rec Center might not be big enough to hold enough of those people to kind of see it. And that's kind of a good problem to have, especially in 2018. It's funny, when we last interviewed Pat Buckcheff, he was talking about how he might start winding down a little bit.
I mean, he worked us.
Might have been work, who knows. I mean, he did sound pretty exhausted and tired, and, you know, we all know what happens when promoters put on those hats, and especially their promoters slash wrestlers and performers. So in this sense, you know, if you're Pat Buck, it's good momentum to have, especially starting out the year for your first event in 2018.
And if you want to find out more about WrestlePro, you just go to their website, WrestlePROOnline.com. Actually, our show is there, too, in the listen section, so make sure you listen to that, as well as Pat Buck's WrestlePro show, as well as Destruction 101. I think the Drink with Gino's on there, too, so definitely it's another way to listen to us. But, yeah, I think the next time they'll be there is March 9th and 10th. So I think Darren Young will be on one of the cards,
well, March 9th, they'll be in Union, New Jersey, and March 10th, they'll be in Brooklyn.
So Darren Young, I think he'll be in the Union New Jersey show. So
yes, that's, he will.
Yeah, so Darren Young will be there, so definitely check them out.
I think it's going to be his first appearance, too, post-WWE.
All right, so continued success to WrestlePro. And, you know, so lots of stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling, man. Lots of stuff. And we're able to talk to Brad Shepherd now. Brad Shepherd, the way I found Brad is because I go on social media a lot. And he obviously reports a lot of stuff. And here in the news right now, which he has an unenviable job of being one of those guys that report stuff, but then no one likes to credit each other. That's why it's a cutthroat business here when you're trying to break news. Of course, you've got respectable newsbreakers, but also Brad is trying to get into the business. He has a lot of sources. He was one of the first people to break the news of the XFL that was going to be restarted again by Vince McMahon. And also, he kind of was the first to break where WrestleMania 35 was going to be. Yeah. Of course, everyone takes and takes and takes. Doesn't want to credit anybody, but I believe Brad was the one to break the story. So I wanted to get him on. And I think he has a bright future in the media as well. So definitely wanted to get Brad on. Of course, he has his own podcast, Backstage in WWE, with John Fisher, a former guest on the show back in the day. So that show drops every Friday, too. So after you listen to our show, you're more than welcome to listen to Backstage in WWE. But Brad Shepherd joined us here on the High Spot Podcast, talking everything WWE rumors. And here he is on the High Spot Podcast. All right, Trendsetter, we are joined by Brad Shepherd. He is the managing editor for BodySlam.net, and he's got a podcast with John Fisher. It's called Backstage in WWE. We are joined by Mr. Brad Shepherd. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys.
I totally appreciate it, man. Let's start off first with the injury to Jason Jordan. Obviously, he had neck surgery. Timetable maybe about a year. It's tough to, you know, see with those neck injuries and how they heal. Just your thoughts on the whole ordeal. He started kind of to find his niche on the roster, trying to find a place there, and now all of a sudden a neck injury. We're getting tons of those in WWE as of late. Just talk about how this hampers WrestleMania plans and how it kind of hampers Jordan's career right now in WWE.
Yeah, well, I think the obvious direction they seem to be going was Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins, and obviously that looks likely to change now. You know, he just had surgery and could be out, as you said, for some time. But I think, you know, the larger point here, I guess, is the style of work in WWE. And it's not just specific to WWE, but maybe more so because they do that style and they also do it so many days out of the year. But, you know, there's just a laundry list of guys getting injured. And I think sooner or later you have to take a look at that and make a change. Yeah, as far as Jason himself, I thought he was doing a really nice job. You know, I thought once they made the turn and started playing up his heel characteristics, then he really started to come into his own. So they've done a nice job with that, and this is really unfortunate timing.
A lot of people are going to talk now. I've read on social media, WWE should consider, and, you know, these are people that obviously aren't in WWE and, you know, are not making money with the company, that there should be a kind of a extended break. I kind of was thinking about it, too, and I thought maybe a month, maybe after Mania, to, you know, have people talking about, you know, the next event and kind of like an off season. Your thoughts, would WWE ever consider that, or do you think it's something that should be talked about? Just your thoughts on when people talk about an off season for WWE or a lighter schedule.
Sure. I don't think it'll ever happen, and essentially here's why. WWE is a publicly traded company, and they have a relationship with their stockholders where their goal is to make as much money as possible. And they're going to do that by working as much as possible. And that's just the unfortunate reality. So practically speaking, I don't see that happening, although certainly it would be a huge benefit for the health of the talent. But I wonder if there's things they can do, such as utilize more people on the roster and give guys more time off. You know, maybe a wrestler's in a big storyline and then he goes away from TV for a couple of months. And I don't think that hurts anyone. It probably helps them, because in today's product, we're really, you know, they're oversaturating the market with the content. And so having someone kind of go away from TV for a couple of months really benefits them. And I think you've seen that with how they've booked people like Brock Lesnar.
Now, speaking of Brock Lesnar, Brad, I mean, I know it's still early on, but theoretically we are on the road to WrestleMania. Still have two more events to go before it actually happens in New Orleans. You right now, what would you say is the most intriguing storyline that you're interested in see how it develops leading into WrestleMania? Is it more for the Universal title? Is it the WWE Championship? Is it what they're doing right now with the women's situation with Asuka and Ronda Rousey? What right now is compelling to you to see how it plays itself out leading towards WrestleMania?
Well, certainly I'm interested to see what they do with Ronda Rousey. You know, there's a couple of different avenues that can go. And, of course, they would love to have The Rock. But, you know, that's, you know, schedule permitting and also based on, you know, insurance allowing it. So that's not certainly anything you can count on. It's why he hasn't wrestled recently. But, yeah, I think what they do with Ronda would be intriguing. And, you know, if she turns out to be a draw. And so there's that. And also I'm interested in the AJ and Shinsuke match coming up, and you know, it'd be a really good match, but I want to see more than just a really good match. I want to see what kind of story they can make out of this leading up to the match. So I'm kind of in a wait and see mode to see how they're going to let this play out.
Of course, we're talking with Brad Shepherd. His own podcast drops every Friday. It is called Backstage with WWE, with our former guest on the show, John Fisher. Brad, I want to touch base with you, for example, on, you know, the Cruiserweight division, 205 Live. You know, they are trying to kind of restore it with this tournament. Of course, the whole Enzo Amore fiasco, you know, which kind of leaves Enzo Amore on a sour note with the company. Just your thoughts on 205 Live. Do you think it's salvageable with this tournament? Do you think that they're heading in the right direction, you know, with the current storyline of having a tournament to crown a new champion at Mania?
Well, I certainly like the idea. I mean, obviously, Enzo was a charismatic personality, larger than life, which is something, you know, in many regards, they've missed for a long time. You know, certainly they did what they had to do, and you understand that. But, you know, that to me is a guy who really blew a big opportunity to be a millionaire and be a big star in the business. You know, I was told that basically everything I heard about him was true. You know, he was drunk all the time and showing up late to work and wearing his Cruiserweight Championship belt in the club. Just all kinds of, like, wacky stuff. So he had a lot of heat backstage. And the company, I was told, put up with it because of his larger-than-life personality, which they knew was ratings. They knew it was, you know, obviously something that was good for their TV. But, you know, that kind of – that he left him with no choice. And the reason he was indeed – fired was because he didn't tell them about the rape investigation. I confirmed that. So yeah, that was just a big miss there. So now they've got to go forward with some new stars in the division that can carry the load. And yeah, I think Drew Gulak is a real talented guy. And you know, to me, there's no excuse why they haven't had a 15 minute PowerPoint presentation on Raw. Like something like that is pure entertainment. This guy is pure entertainment. You know, he's all right in the ring, don't get me wrong, but he's an entertainer, and that's something that, you know, we need a lot more of. So, you know, as someone like that, I think, you know, I would definitely try and sign Rey Mysterio and put him on 205 Live. And, you know, that sounds crazy. He's such a big star, and you'd love to see him face off against some other established stars, but that's a guy who could go in and really legitimize the Cruiserweight division and also help make stars for the future. And when you really think about it, WWE controls everything. They can make this division a big deal if they choose to. I mean, it's no different when you look at UFC, for example. You wouldn't necessarily think any less of the light heavyweight champion than you would the heavyweight champion, et cetera, et cetera. WWE gets to control everything in the scripted world, and so there's no reason they can't present it in a more impressive way to really make these guys in equal footing with the heavyweights. So I think certainly they have the chance to do something, and I would love to see him put Rey in the division.
There's no doubt about that, Brad. You bring up a great point in terms of what they can do to kind of bring some life back into 205 Live, because ever since the Cruiserweight Classic Tournament and its inception, it's kind of fallen under death ears, and it's great to put some new life back into that division, which it sorely needs. But, you know, talking about youth and talking about how the WWE's roster always seems to kind of replenish itself and has a lot of depth, theoretically, behind it, all the new acquisitions like Ricochet, War Machine, now Candice LeRae, part of NXT. Can you talk a little bit about NXT? Because this is something I always debate, or Jeff and I debate back and forth, about how there always seems to be a disconnect. Now, there are obviously a few exceptions to this example, but it just seems as of late when you have individuals coming over from NXT to the main roster, and now this is the time of season where people are going to be asking, all right, who's going to be the next call-up, who's going to move on now to either Raw or SmackDown Live. It always begs the question for me is, whoever does come up, do they get lost in translation? From your experience from watching it, is it more in terms of they try to rebuild the package that was done in NXT, and that's why it's kind of getting lost in translation? Because you've had some pretty big stars from the women and male side right now, and one perfect example right now that just sticks in my mind, a guy like Finn Balor just seems to not be gaining any momentum. Now, granted, he's back with his friends from the Bullet Club, but why do you think there's this huge transparency between when you get called up from NXT to the main roster?
Well, I think WWE would be well suited to have some people that are that their sole roles are basically the integration of the NXT superstars and moving into the main roster. People who can be dedicated to making sure they have creative plans and they know exactly what to do, scheduling, et cetera. Someone kind of a quality control type of role so that they can make sure it goes smoothly. But, you know, I think the big difference is it's two different audiences. I mean, that's just the reality of it. The NXT audience is a niche sort of indie fan base. And the WWE audience, although it's easy to forget, is, you know, casual fans who don't watch NXT at all or, you know, haven't seen Finn Balor's matches in Japan, et cetera, et cetera. And so a lot of times it doesn't translate. And on the other hand, you've got someone like Elias who didn't translate in NXT to that audience. And then he comes to the main roster and he's pure entertainment and he's made for the main roster. So I think that's what it is. The disconnect is it's essentially two different audiences. So what works in NXT definitely may not work on the main roster.
That's a great point. I think a way to solve it, too, is to integrate NXT, to have the casual WWE fan watch it that doesn't watch NXT, maybe add them into the Survivor Series next year. Have a top five for the NXT, try to compete with Raw and SmackDown Live. You know, even if they, you know, were not to win, but at least you can integrate NXT somewhere on WWE programming as far as, like, on the USA Network. I think that would be smart. Tyler Bate, I'm not sure what you know, what you've heard. Is it just, you know, some tough luck with these current losses, or is there something, you know, behind that to his current streak of losing?
Yeah, I believe there's a little something behind it. You know, usually where there's a little smoke, there's fire. And I mean, he came out and he said basically, you know, he threw a little shade at Dave Meltzer and said it's not true. But you have to realize that workers are going to work.
Yeah.
And so what I mean by that is, you know, I don't know how many of them have ever admitted, hey, yeah, I've got, you know, heat with management or in the locker room. Yeah, they're not likely to admit that. I mean, they're not even likely oftentimes to admit that they're injured. I mean, it was Jason Jordan's own wife that went on Instagram and said, basically, the reports are highly exaggerated, untrue. He had a minor little injury. And then WWE comes out, I mean, just not that long after and says he had neck surgery. I guess you sometimes have to take things with a grain of salt, you know, when you're told them. And so I do tend to believe, based on that he does have some heat. And that's what they're doing. They test you. And, you know, we've seen it with a lot of people. I mean, Baron Corbin, who I'm a big fan of, they, you know, he spoke out about CTE and, you know, they completely de-pushed him. And so that's just what they do. It may seem petty or ridiculous, but that's the way it works.
Continuing on the heat aspect, what is going on with Corey Graves and Booker T? Booker T kind of saying that if I see Corey on the streets, he's going to, you know, do something, maybe a physical altercation. What's going on with that? Have you heard anything? Is there any Again, you know, but where there's smoke, there's fire. But any truth? Is it a work? How accurate is this supposed beef with Corey Graves and Booker T?
I mean, it's accurate. It's not a work. It is legit. And if you have followed the history of Booker T, it certainly, you know, it certainly makes sense. But yeah, it's a very interesting situation. And honestly, someone brought up a great point. And that's the talk of a hostile work environment. You know, and you get into those corporate environments and you have an employee or even a contractor talking about, you know, harming another employee, you have to take action or you're civilly liable for any potential action. So that'd be very interesting. And WWE hasn't shied away from it. I mean, Corey Graves took a shot at Booker T on Twitter, and there was a couple of comments as well, one on Raw and one, I believe, on SmackDown as well. Mentioning the situation. So it's kind of an odd way to deal with it, but certainly, yeah, it's for sure real.
You know, what's real is the fact that, you know, it's not too long that we saw Raw 25, and a lot of people were unhappy of that, and them basically bringing back a lot of old school situations there. Did you hear anything about the mere fact, was it anything that W was aware of that basically separating the two shows from the Barclays to the Manhattan Center, and the crowd going pretty irate considering they didn't have a lot of things happen in that area, in the Manhattan Center, and then Undertaker coming back. First of all, can you just talk about, has anything kind of come up since that situation occurred at Raw 25, and have you heard any other updates on possibly maybe the Undertaker maybe teasing to return back into the ring?
Yeah, so the whole point of that promo, which I thought wasn't very good, to be honest, and yeah, he's never been a great promo. I mean, his character protects him from that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the promo I thought was just kind of poorly written. And what they were supposed to do was tease that he's retiring again. And then, you know, obviously if he's able to work, he would come back to face John Cena. So that's the big hurdle. I mean, if he's able to go, then he's going to face Cena. If that changes and he's not, then they'll have to change plans pretty quickly.
I mean, Brad, I saw the W24 Orlando. It kind of hurt me watching Undertaker in that shape. I mean, he was limping, you know, a lot. And it just, I don't know. It's how many more times do you need to prove it to the people? I mean, I'm not one to tell somebody when to hang him up. But what more does Undertaker have to prove?
Yeah, at this point, I just think it's about making money. You know, Vince believes he's a draw, and Undertaker wants to take the big payday, and that's really all it's about. It's just pretty simple. But, you know, I think it does kind of damage his legacy in the context of his character in the show. I'm not a big fan of it. I would have retired him after he lost his first match. Certainly, I would have retired him after he lost the second. But, you know, I thought he was in really rough shape for the Roman Reigns match. I thought, you know, he didn't look very good. And I thought the match was actually pretty bad. So I don't know. I would love to see him retire. You know, he's much older and, you know, physically he's got a lot of issues, and financially he doesn't necessarily need it. So, you know, I just don't want to see these guys mainly get hurt in the ring is really what it amounts to. That's the most important.
Brad, you have an unenviable job of reporting stuff and putting it out there, and there's always that scramble of, you know, who gets the story first, and I like the way you poke fun of it a little bit on your Twitter and your social media. Just talk about, like, what made you want to cover WWE? What made you want to cover professional wrestling? When did you become a fan?
Jeez, I've been a fan for well over 30 years. So I was a fan from the time I was a very young child. I remember watching WrestleMania 1. You know, Hulk Hogan was my favorite growing up. He's my all-time favorite. And so I got to experience a real special time with the golden era of wrestling with the WWF. And, of course, the NWA as well, which was really great. And a lot of those guys like Flair and Dusty and Lex Luger and all the Four Horsemen guys and Nikita Koloff. And, you know, you could go on and on. So it was just a really great time for wrestling. And so I was really glad to be able to grow up during that. But yeah, I've just been a fan my entire life, and writing is something I enjoy, and I just kind of got into it, started writing for PW Insider, and that's how it began.
How, like, okay, so I want to give you credit because, again, I think your work is outstanding. I like the way you break stuff and as far as news. So, for example, Mania 35 coming to New Jersey. We've had, like, New Orleans coming
to New York. They'll never say New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. To New York, New Jersey. New Jersey's always the little brother. Usually there's, like, a good gap in between times, but now, you know, WrestleMania this year is going to be in New Orleans. It was only just 4 years ago. It was back there. How long would you know in advance when these things are going to happen? Because you broke this, I would say, like November, and then everyone's, you know, about last week was saying, oh, you know, breaking news that, you know, WWE chooses New York, New Jersey. When do you start getting that kind of an idea when it's going to take place in the next city the following year?
Yeah, usually around the fall of the year before. That's usually, these decisions are made, and this is something maybe people don't realize, but they're made, you know, several months in advance of the announcement itself. There's just logistically, from a business standpoint, there's so many things you have to do, you know, behind the scenes before you could announce something like this. So, you know, these things are, you know, these are decided a long time. I mean, in the sense, I guess nothing's official until they say it, but I mean, this is something that, you know, obviously I was told several months ago that was what was selected as the location. It's kind of funny you mentioned the locations. You know, they call it New York when it's really New Jersey, that type of thing. And, of course, Vince is, and that's Vince, you know, and he's got this thing where, you know, they go into a town for a show. He always wants it to be the big city name. And if it's not the big city name, then he's just not going to announce the name. Or, you know, maybe he'll, you know, he'll find another way to get around that. He doesn't like to use the smaller area names for whatever reason. It's kind of funny.
Brad, that being said, and what Jeff had just mentioned in terms of figuring out the locations and finding them out, I mean, obviously WWE has their process of how they do it and what they decide depending on where market-wise makes sense for them to make the most money and make the most impact as well. We have some several new stadiums going to be built most likely towards the West Coast, Las Vegas, you know, Los Angeles, they'll build that new stadium too. Now, granted, I always make the joke with Jeff, like, you know, how many times can you keep going to the same places? There'll always be building new stadiums, new arenas, but has there ever been a situation where you might think they could possibly, now this all depends on Vince, might want to take a global juggernaut like WrestleMania, maybe take it, you know, across the pond, take it overseas, take it in international waters?
Well, I certainly think that would present a lot of extra challenges. I mean, I would never directly rule that out because eventually if the WWE product keeps going, I mean, we could be at WrestleMania 100 and you know, sooner or later they're going to have to, you know, go somewhere else besides, you know, New York / New Jersey or, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, but I wouldn't say it's going to be necessarily anytime soon either. You know, they do sometimes seem like they go back and forth to some of the same places. And, you know, I understand that can be frustrating. I'd love to have one. I live in North Carolina. I would love to have one in Charlotte, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think the city and the area is big enough. But there's a lot that goes into making that decision, you know, making the deal financially lucrative, you know, between the city and WWE. There's a lot of schmoozing and a lot of different factors that go into making that decision. And obviously, you know, Vince is going to pick the town that is going to provide the best deal for his company.
A lot of money to be made. A lot of people mock us wrestling fans. Oh, you know, it's not real. But you know what? You know what's real? The money that WrestleMania brings to town, because the revenue for that, you know, weekend, it's a cash cow, it's a bonanza, and we see it firsthand when you go to the Access and when you go to all the other shows, all the wrestling shows that come in there. The amount of revenue that city gets for those 4 days, 5 days is just something that is not a laughing matter. It's crazy. I want to talk about another story that you broke, and that's right, Brad Shepherd broke, is that the XFL is coming back in 2020. Listen, one suggestion, and after watching the Super Bowl and after watching this NFL season, XFL, if you just promise that everything is a catch in this league, you will find success. Your thoughts?
I have to agree. I mean, you know, to me, it should be just like a simple eye test. You know, I think the NFL has really dropped the ball on their rule of what a catch is. I mean, and I've said this before, but if you have to have pages of legalese that describe exactly what a catch is, a catch of a football, then you're probably doing it wrong, right? I mean, this is not like, people in the audience, you know, people watching this don't want to go through, you know, a textbook of information as to what a catch is. It should be pretty clear. I mean, this is not like a complex thing. So, but they have. That's exactly what they've turned it into. Is it a catch? Is it not a catch? And also there's a big issue there with the consistency of the refereeing as well. That's just, you know, I mean, I think you saw it at the Super Bowl. You know, there's just no consistency with what it catches. So, you know, I think the XFL could learn a lot of lessons from the failures of the NFL and what they've done. And at the same time, the XFL has to learn the lessons of their failures from the first time as well.
Brad, for example, like, I don't blame Al and Chris Collinsworth of having a shaky game, because they've kind of been trained since the first week of the season about this whole catch thing, right? I mean, the one from the game winner by Ertz, clearly he was a runner, and then he crosses the plane, so that's good. But then the one to Clement, I mean, that one is, you know, it's you know, you can't even, like, cheer for a touchdown anymore. You got to wait the 10 minutes until the under review, and then you're biting your nails, and you don't know what it is. So, yeah, man, I mean, the NFL has a huge problem. If they don't review this year, you know, it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, I agree. And when I've talked about the timing of the XFL return being probably better than it ever will be, you know, the reason is because of the NFL. You know, there's a desire for an alternative to the NFL product. And, you know, that has to do with the kneeling controversy. But it's not just that. It's something that we saw the first time when the XFL launched. It's actually gotten worse. It's the rule book. It's the no fun league, as Vince used to call it. It's, you know, so many penalties stopping the flow of the gameplay and the fun, and not allowing them to celebrate, and not knowing what a catch is, and, you know, all the things that we've all talked about. And, you know, I don't see those areas improving from the NFL. So I think that gives Vince a big opportunity to get that right.
Now, Brad, you mentioned before how, you know, the success of the XFL will also depend not only just of counteracting the failures of what the NFL is doing, especially this season and all the controversy there, but also them learning from their own failures of what happened the first go-around. We all like to think as we get older, we get wiser, we get smarter, we learn from our mistakes. What mistakes that pop into your head right now do you think the XFL has to do a very good job in to make sure they don't do that again, to make sure that the second go-around that Vince has and hopes that the XFL will be successful will ultimately be that, and won't be, for example, something where we see down the road and have another 30 for 30 documentary of the XFL again?
Yeah, so I think obviously they need more time to prepare. That was something they really, really didn't do a good job of the first time. I mean, there was like a year difference between the announcement and the launch of the league, and now they have about 2 years. So they've learned the lesson, it feels like, on that. And one of the other parts of preparing is getting good football talents to play on the field, right? And it's hard to do that when you've got a year's time. Now they have 2 years. Now they can start a system of developing the talent and bringing them in. And so having good on-field play is critical. I mean, this is football. Football is good on-field play. That's what people want to see. And, you know, the first time, that was just really bad. In fact, I did an interview with Peter Schwartz, who was an announcer for the New Jersey, New York Hitmen. And, you know, he told a very interesting story about that. And, you know, he told me about the quality of the play. And everyone I talked to from the XFL had the same feedback about the lack of preparation and the quality of the play. And also the other piece is not integrating the WWE product into the XFL. I mean, and I think all of these things, on a positive note, Vince realizes these based on his press conference on the 25th for the XFL return announcement. You know, before he had Jesse Ventura, he had Jerry Lawler, he had Jim Ross, he had all this different wacky stuff. And he had some good stuff too, don't get me wrong, but the WWE integration, it just was like a WWE football league. And you're looking at a mainstream audience. You're trying to get a football audience, which, sure, there's going to be some WWE fans, but there's going to be a majority of people who are not WWE fans that want to see football, not, you know, wrestling. So, you know, he would be very wise to stay away from that, and I think he's going to.
So, with you saying that, so by 2020, does a more of a workload, does more of power go to Triple H and Stephanie McMahon? Because, listen, Mr. McMahon probably could oversee everything, and because the man doesn't sleep. But do you think more of that, I guess, decision-making goes towards Triple H and Steph?
It's certainly possible. I mean, Vince said that he's going to carry both duties. And I have to be honest. I mean, the last time he appeared on TV for this press conference, and even before then for the Raw 25 Raw show, I just thought, you know, he didn't look very good, to be honest. You know, he's 72, and you do have to wonder how long he's going to be able to keep this up, especially when he has the workload of both companies. So it'll be very interesting to see, but I certainly do expect by 2020-ish time frame we could see more involvement from, you know, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon in running the business end of WWE. That'll be very interesting to watch.
He is Brad Shepherd. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This is really fun. He is the managing editor for BodySlam.net. Congratulations on that. And he has a podcast, Backstage in WWE with Brad Shepherd, that comes out with Brad Shepherd and John Fisher, that comes out every Friday. So we got a little competition with him because our shows drop on Friday. So you know, listen to both shows, and that's fine because
there's
great.
Nothing wrong with healthy competition.
No. But you got to choke the life out of your competition. But no, we want Brad back on the show eventually, so we're going to wish you luck on your show. A really good show, man. It's good listen to. Of course, he's got the insight with everything going on in WWE. Finally, what are you working on? Anything you're working on this week?
You know, I just did an interview with PW Stream, and yeah, I've done a few more interview requests. But yeah, I'm really right now just trying to get focused on really building up BodySlam.net. It's really important to me, and the owner of the site is someone who's connected into the wrestling industry and really wants to do a good thing for fans. So we're really hoping to do some exciting things that, you know, eventually no other wrestling website is doing. So, yeah, we're just trying to get some people hired on board and start writing and really build up the content. So that's where a lot of my area is focused right now.
Brad, thanks a lot, man. Definitely want to get you back on once WrestleMania season really gets geared up in a couple months. But just want to thank you again and appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Awesome. All right, our thanks go out to Brad Shepherd. Of course, he is the managing editor now for BodySlams.net. So continued success, and definitely keep an eye out on him. He will be definitely a big player in the news media in the future and down the road, already breaking stories, again, like the XFL and the WrestleMania location for next year in Jersey in New York. So what do you take out of Brad's the conversation we had with Brad?
What I take out of it is that he's looking at doing big things. He's not the kind of person that, from the initial reaction I got when we spoke to him, Jeff, he's not really somebody who's looking to take credit, but at the same time, he knows his worth. He knows basically that he's the one that broke out these stories. So it's really good to talk to him. He's got some great insight on the business in terms of knowing the ins and outs of what's going on, you know, who's got heat, who doesn't, what could possibly be going on, especially leading up to, you know, we're on the road to WrestleMania. I know we have, you know, we have Fastlane, we have
Elimination Chamber.
I was going to say Roadblock for some reason, but don't do that anymore, that pay-per-view anymore. But we have those.
I think they do at some other point now. I still, for some reason.
Before, like the last two, it was Roadblock before WrestleMania.
Yeah, but now it's Elimination Chamber for Raw, which is in Vegas in a few weeks, and we'll get into that. And when, you know,
then we have Fastlane, the last one coming on
too. So,
but this is all building up towards WrestleMania, so it's good to get his insights on the rumors. And we talked about Undertaker, we talked about the whole Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar thing, and also we ultimately talked about Kobe too. We talked about Ronda Rousey and her impact and what's going to happen at WrestleMania. So a lot of insight in terms of, you know, all of this is building up towards April, and you know, I can't wait for it to get here. But you know, just like with AVN and things, Jeff, that we've been doing, whether it be going to WrestlePro, Brace for Impact, and all these other shows we're going to do in 2018, goes by really fast. So it's really cool to talk about this, and it always is constantly changing. So right before you take a day off of wrestling, the you know, like Wright Piper said, you know, just when you think you have all the answers, wrestling changes all the questions, Jeff.
No, that's so true. And one thing that I was able to talk to Brad about was the whole Triple H Vince thing, because now it looks like Vince has kind of stepped aside from 205 Live. Has given the reins over Triple H to handle it. And if you notice the last couple weeks, it's been kind of more wrestling. And Vince was kind of more of like, let's develop the character, but Triple H is more like the old school, let's develop the matches. I think you can develop...
You'd see some similarities in NXT when you're looking at 205 Live.
Yeah.
But I think there's still such a huge build-up from, obviously, the beginning part that, you know, there's still more work ahead of him.
I know, but he's making it look like the Cruiserweight Classic a little bit, where the matches are telling the story. And if you saw Roderick Strong against Hideo Itami, a lot of people were talking about that. So that's a positive.
Yeah.
It's going in the right direction. Now you're getting names, too. Like I said, Roderick Strong was in it. Tyler Bate is in it. Even though he lost TJ Perkins, they finally, you know, brought him back in, you know what I mean, who like was missing forever. And so I think that Triple H will do a good job with 205 Live, but my answer for 205 Live would be you can't start at like, you know, 10:15 or 10:05 after the Mixed Match Challenge. I think after the Mixed Match Challenge, I think that what you need to do is start at 7:30. have two 15-minute matches, have that set up, the intro going to SmackDown Live. If not, then there's a lot of people talking about combining it with NXT, and that would be the next step that I would do, is try to combine it with NXT.
That's what I would do. Just combine it with NXT, because it has that, you know, it'll be a taped environment, obviously. It's more convenient in terms of the crowds over top of you, so you have that nice appeal of looking at it from a production standpoint. But, you know, to start early before SmackDown or start afterwards, you know, the building is empty, and it just doesn't give that same type of feel as we kind of had during the Cruiserweight Classic, where everybody was chanting, everybody was into it. So, yeah, to me, what makes more sense, or maybe a temporary solution until we figure out what to do with it, or where to really place it on the whole, you know, WWE network, you know, the way they broadcast things, you have to combine it with NXT. You have to.
You were talking about secondary titles, and I thought the UK title would be a nice addition as the secondary title until you find out if you can get a European show. And the Cruiserweight title, if you bring it into NXT, it's a pretty good deal, man. Then you have three titles there. You don't have to make more titles, which is a big issue in WWE right now.
Yeah, it's a huge issue right now. And in terms of how much momentum NXT has gotten right now in terms of the new stars they've acquired and the future of NXT, I always said a secondary title might have been necessary because, again, you can't always pit the storyline on the main title, whether it be the men's heavyweight title or the women's title. This is a good solution right now in terms of, figuring out what they're going to do with the UK guys and obviously this rebuild for 205 Live. So I think combining the rosters or combining the storylines works. But again, at the same time, you have to be careful because you don't want it to be too confusing. When we found out that Roderick Strong was making his debut at 205 Live, I was like, really? Is he now on the main roster? Is he just 205 Live guy? Are they now going to label him a cruiserweight? It's kind of hard to, because when you start labeling people that way, and I know you and I go back and forth on this, but I hate the fact that when you label them a cruiserweight, you've kind of pigeonholed them in the sense that, if they decide to leave 205 Live, go back to NXT, back and forth, and finally make it to a Raw or SmackDown Live, they're going to be considered that. And so the likelihood of, the debate that goes back and forth, does Vince look at Finn Balor, for example, who's the first ever Universal Champion? Can he be the main guy when you're in the land of the Giants, like on Raw or on SmackDown Live, or Shinsuke Nakamura? He's not going to be confused with the Cruiserweight, but you pit him in there with AJ Styles or these smaller guys, too. They fall into that same category. So although they're not that sense, Cruiserweight, they could be labeled that, and you put a ceiling on them. So,
what did you think of my idea where I said that next year's Survivor Series would be great to get NXT involved and have them, instead of having brand supremacy between Raw and SmackDown Live, you add NXT into the mix? What do you think of that?
I think just implementing NXT in general and the storylines, whether it be pay-per-views like that or the Royal Rumble and things of that nature where all brands are supposed to be combined together, I think it's great because, as we talked to Brad too, and that's one of the points he made too, where, as much as we don't want to believe it sometimes ourselves because we think NXT is so good, and obviously for the diehards like ourselves, it is tailored to a particular demographic. It is tailored to a particular section of the audience. So the general audience that just watches Raw and SmackDown Live, that aren't into professional wrestling or more into the entertainment aspect of stuff like that, when you start bringing in guys from NXT or 205 Live combining, or the UK guys from the United Kingdom Tournament, I think it gives them more of a platform to say, hey, when these guys do come back up to the main roster, it's not like, okay, we got to start over from scratch, because the main thing is always the night after WrestleMania. You bring these guys up to the main roster, of course everybody there is going to know who they are because they followed NXT. They've come from all over the world. You could say they're like the die hardcore fans the night after WrestleMania, and then they start losing momentum, and then it's more like they're starting to reinvent the character that's already established in NXT or established on the indies. So I think that's a great idea in terms of bringing that in and mixing NXT. I think you have to in terms, and this is my main gripe with if you do that. You can't, I know there's always the competition between Raw and SmackDown Live. A show, B show, they treat, SmackDown Live like the little brother and the older brother. You have to give NXT the same amount of respect. If you start treating them like a step sibling or something like that, then you're just kind of you're crapping on the product that, Triple H and everybody that's there have worked so hard to build. So that would be my biggest concern.
Now, for example, if Vince McMahon were to step aside, which obviously kind of kiboshed that because he said that a separate management will handle the XFL, so any thoughts of Triple H assume power after 2020 are kind of been kiboshed. So depending on how Vince McMahon feels, and we talked to Brad, Vince really doesn't look that great. But again, he could be as healthy as a thoroughbred, right?
Yeah.
But the question is, do you think slowly Vince McMahon will hand over power to Triple H, or do you think that's something that won't really happen until Vince is really not involved, and he's while he still can breathe, he'll still be heading up WWE?
Yeah, I agree with your second statement there. As long as he can breathe, he'll still do it. Now, granted, you can't look good physically, But how many times have I, at least in my experience, met people that look terrible physically, and they live to be 120 years old, yeah, and still coherent and still very functional in everything they do? So I think when it becomes to the point where Vince can't physically do it anymore in terms of the daily grind, where, I mean, yeah, Brad was right, and it's true. You saw him on Raw 25, and, but again, he's in his mid 70s, right?
72.
He's in his 70s. What do you expect? Nobody really looks good at 70. But it was Vince with less than three hours sleep every day. Yeah, you like to think, Jeff, eventually it catches up to you. And I think eventually we'll catch up to Vince. And, you know, when it comes to him passing down power, how many decades have people been talking about when it's time for Vince to step away, or he's so disconnected with the audience and things of that nature. But Vince always finds a way of, you know, the keyword we always used in the end of 2017 and 2018, reinventing yourself. He's done a good job of reinventing himself and kind of opening himself up to other avenues, other aspects, especially handing power over and giving complete power over to NXT to Triple H. So I think in the long run, I think we will eventually talk about it, but I don't expect it to happen anytime soon. Even though he's in his 70s, it really doesn't matter. As long as Vince can physically still be there and mentally is coherent enough, he'll still be running WWE.
Yeah, and our thanks goes out to Brad Shepherd again. You can follow him on Twitter at TheBradShepherd. Of course, he's the managing editor of BodySlams.net, so congrats to him on that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he's got his podcast, like we said, Backstage in WWE with Brad Shepherd and John Fisher. Of course, John Fisher, back in the day, guest on the High Spot podcast, and it's very beginnings, it's very inception of the show. So thanks to him for coming on. Definitely will be the last time. Very, you know.
I know, hopefully not.
No, very interesting stuff that we talked
about.
For both
of them. I'd love to have both of them on the show.
Definitely, man. Get a little, you know, duo thing going here. Four of us here talking about.
Table for four, basically.
Table for four.
Discussion panel.
Hey, they have a table for three, we can do table for four.
Exactly. Why not?
But yeah,
as long as the buffet table, I'm fine with that.
Thanks to Brad. So now our next guest. Of course, we're talking about NXT and getting recognized as people, you know, you kind of have to prove themselves on their own. One of those is Tennille, and we started at WrestlePro 2, and she's getting into the whole working in the independent scenes and trying to get into that mentality. And they had an amazing match with Angelina Love at WrestlePro, so definitely when that comes out, guys, definitely watch it. I'm sure you can find it somewhere on YouTube. Tennille Dashwood, she'll be headlining February 24th. It's Standalone Wrestling's first event, Liftoff, and you definitely want to go check them out too. We will be there. The High Spot Podcast will be there from Standalone Wrestling Liftoff. We talked to one of the owners, Chad Minnis. He was able to join us, and we talked to him after the whole hoopla of the Royal Rumble. He had a few minutes to talk to us, and we talked about what his vision is for Standalone Wrestling, what bringing somebody like Tennille Dashwood does for the company. And also, Boardwalk Beatdown in August is going to be not only just a day of wrestling, it's going to be a whole weekend. So we talked to him about that. And here is the one and only Chad Minnis on the High Spot Podcast. We got a great promotion that's on the rise. It's called Standalone Wrestling, and one of the promoters is Chad Minnis. I'm so glad that he's been on other podcasts, because I know how to say his last name now, so it's been kind of a running gag around the podcast land. And Chad, what's going on, man? Standalone Wrestling, February 24th, Atlantic Cape Community College. What's going on?
What's up, guys? I'm excited to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
So, talk about Standalone Wrestling. So, it's a startup. You guys are based out of Atlantic City. What's just give us a little heads up on what Standalone Wrestling is in your vision, what you want it to be.
Okay, so it's out of the mindset of myself, who I spent some time at WrestlePro and SWF, and Preacher Phineas James and his wife Arlene James. Preacher Phineas James used to run BWO. He was a booker at SWF. He's a head trainer at CZW and a producer on the show. And this is a three of our visions that we've been working on for the past year. And, we picked the Atlantic County market because there's nobody here, and it's going to be a good market to really establish a up-and-coming promotion.
So I got to give you credit, because you actually stood online to see Sasha Banks at 6 a.m. In the morning. I think it started at 11 o'clock meet and greet or so.
Oof.
Mad props to you, dude.
Yeah, thanks. I brought somebody with me who wanted to meet her, so that's why we were waiting. I went to a market, just flyer the whole line. At the end of it, there was probably well over 1,000 people there. And, I left Thursday night my home, and I've been traveling from Toms River to Philly and the whole WWE there the whole week. And that's all I've been doing, probably 4,000, 5,000 flyers. I passed out to all the fans from you know, to promote both the Liftoff and the Boardwalk Beatdown shows coming up.
Well, that's great. I mean, for me, what I always find interesting, Chad, is that, you know, when people dive into professional wrestling, whether they want to be a talent, whether they want to be a promoter, there's always some particular thing that makes them want to do it. Was it more that you were just a fan and kind of wanted to just dive into it and be part of the business in some way?
You know, kind of and a fan, but majority of, for me, is I want to have another successful business. And I enjoy, I enjoy wrestling, and even more so my son enjoys wrestling, and we enjoy doing it together. More, I want to take on the challenge of another successful business and, starting it from scratch and seeing where it can grow like I did with my own company. And, the challenge of running a professional wrestling company is probably one of the most challenging things there is versus any other business. So, I'm really excited to see where this develops.
Describe the many hats you have to wear, because I think a lot of people might think, oh, I would love to be a promoter, but don't realize the difficulty, like you explained to it, of how challenging it is. Can you kind of describe, like, the if you would, the most difficult thing that comes along with being a promoter?
Probably the most difficult thing is budgeting a show correctly. I would believe, you know, you can only fit X amount of people in seats. You have to know what you think your draw is going to be, because you have to be able to pay your talent, rent your ring or own your ring, pay the venue, your insurance and everything like that. So that's probably the scariest thing, is budgeting a show. So the Liftoff shows, more of a smaller budget, but executed well. And our Boardwalk Beatdown one is, you know, a very heavy budgeted, but there's more opportunities there. And, running the wrestling company, you're dealing with the venue itself, which is always challenging because every venue has different demands. Dealing with talent is super difficult. You're talking about dealing with, 18 to 30 different people on an indie show, each with different personalities and different requests. And, you know, you can go from somebody who's new on the show, and you go up to where we have like Goldberg, who's going to have like certain demands and requirements. So it gets very difficult. Besides that, again, marketing. You know, some promoters are like, oh, yeah, I promoted my ass off. You know, you're going to see my stuff all over social media. We're doing this old school and new school. You know, like I just explained, we're hitting the streets every single day. We're doing, whether it's a flea market or it's a community event, or, you know, if we're at WWE events, plus the social media, plus newspaper ads and radio ads and podcasts. And, you know, we have a whole package of everything that we're going to do to make it successful. So it's time away from my family and my girlfriend and two children, and, you know, it takes away from my other business a little bit, which is not always the smartest thing. But, you know, when you're passionate about something, sometimes the risk is worth it.
Again, we're talking to Chad Minnis. Congratulations on your new addition to the family, too, a baby boy, right?
Baby boy, yeah.
Logan,
amazing.
Logan Chase, right?
Logan Chase. Yes. Thank you so much.
Awesome, man. So, Standalone presents Liftoff, and that's February 24th. Headlined by Tennille Dashwood, formerly M of WWE. Just talk about that event before we get to upcoming events, too.
Okay, yeah. So, our Liftoff event, I think this is one of the most fresh cards probably that you ever seen in South Jersey. Probably, one of the, most thought out and well-versed cards. Not one match is going to be the same. One of the things we're trying to do is take people who haven't been used to their full potential, and we want to showcase them. And that's, the perfect example, in our opinion, and why we brought in Emma was because, she had this great run at the end of her career in WWE. And then whatever happened there, it's like, again, they dropped the ball. And Brittany Blake is an amazing talent. So, right away we wanted to match those two together. So that's one of our head matches, is Tennille versus Brittany. Going through the card, Joe Gacy, which everybody knows. Me and my partner think Joe Gacy is one of the most fantastic wrestlers on the planet. And, I think you're going to be hearing a lot from him in the future, big time. And he's taking on Martin Stone from NXT, who's Danny Burch in NXT.
Yeah.
And, that match, I think, is going to be the match of the night.
Talk about how, how the Women's Revolution, or the Evolution, whatever they call it, how has that influenced you when you're booking matches now? Is that a big part of why Emma was such a big get for you guys for the February 24th show?
I'm totally into the women's revolution. I think it's a long time coming. You know, you saw the Royal Rumble and now an Elimination Chamber. And I've always been big into women's wrestling and bringing them to the meet and greets when I do my vendoring. And I think they're a huge attraction, both to the male and female fan base. And we're definitely going to be part of growing that market. You know, we've had small talks about doing all women shows in the future and two shows, you know, like doubleheader shows. And so women's wrestling is definitely going to be a big thing with standalone wrestling.
So standalone wrestling, it presents Liftoff. It'll be headlined by Tennille Dashwood. So it's a meet and greet with her?
Yeah, doors are going to open up at 6 a.m. And we have LAX. We have Emma. Martin Stone's going to be there from 6 to 7 for meet and greets. You know, we have radio stations there, vendors, snacks and stuff, live DJ. And the show's going to start at 7 p.m. bell time. And then afterwards, too, we're going to have an after party so you can come hang out with the wrestlers. We can all have some drinks and some food and, you know, share stories and have a good time. And, you know, everything we do, we want to connect the fans, you know, from our live events to our conventions to, you know, doing mail-in ordering for autographs for fans who can't make it to the show. And, you know, great. We're going to have a great selection of merchandise through a store on our website. So, yeah, we want to be very, very fan-friendly and, you know, aggressively, you know, with interaction.
You bring up a good point, Chad. I mean, the way you're describing right now, I'm always curious about this too. Jeff and I have been pretty fortunate enough to be in a lot of independent wrestling events. And, you know, there's no doubt that each particular event you go to, depending on obviously who's running it and management, has their own identity. You kind of described it a little bit when you were saying, you know, you want it to be very fan-friendly. But if I were to say it and ask you, and so the audience can know, if I'd never been to a standalone wrestling event, what can I go there to expect in terms of what your identity, what it is you're trying to portray to the audience?
All right, so definitely number one, this brand of shows is going to be PG shows. Again, we have talks about doing different types of shows, but the regular standalone wrestling shows are going to be PG, family-friendly, you know, good from kids 2 years old to, you know, grandparents. You know, we're going to present events where no match is the same. You know, we're going to have all different styles of matches, from Lucha to Strong Style, to some comedy matches, women's matches, tag teams, and you know, any match you could think of. You know, so you're never going to see the same thing. And, you know, a lot of storytelling. So we want you to follow our stories. You know, the first year we're going to have 2 to 4 shows through our first year. And then we want to grow that. And we want people to be able to follow the stories as well in the markets that we go to. And we're going to do basically like a little tour. You know, to give an example, we have Maze Landing already announced. We have Atlantic City announced. And then we have another venue, which is going to be about 45 minutes away that we hopefully announce soon as well, to where it's, you know, close enough to where people could travel to all those shows and just, and then make a little circle of shows that they could go to and follow us.
How awesome for your summer show that you're going to have Bill Goldberg. Now, of course, he was announced to be inducted this year into the WWE Hall of Fame in New Orleans for WrestleMania 34 weekend. Just talk about Bill Goldberg and talk about just that event, you know, and just your expectations and just how great it is for you to get a Hall of Famer under your wing for that event.
Yeah, so this is pretty cool. This is called Boardwalk Beatdown, and I met with the Claridge Hotel in Atlantic City, and I pitched them the idea of doing a live wrestling show at the Celebrity Theater, which is a very historic theater. It's about 700 people. And when I pitched them the show, they didn't want just that. They wanted more, you know. And you know, so I started brainstorming on what we could do. And I came up with, you know, like the whole Boardwalk Beatdown experience, which year one we're going to start as a 2-day event. And year two we're hoping to do like a 3-day event with like comedy shows and training seminars and stuff like that. But the breakdown for this year is going to be night number one at the Tennessee Ave Beer Hall. We're going to have a dinner with the stars, where at each table, you're actually going to have a wrestler sitting at your table, and MLJ, who's our ring announcer, is going to be moderating, and it's basically going to be like a, you know, a storytelling, eat dinner, ask questions to your favorite stars and stuff like that, and we have about 10 talents lined up for that already. Day two is going to be the convention in the morning to the afternoon, and at nighttime, we're going to have a live show. And when I came up with this concept of, you know, the whole Boardwalk Beatdown experience, I had to think of something, you know, number one, that was rare, was going to be special, and would kind of make this, you know, happen really fast and, you know, put a lot of eyes on it. And, you know, I thought about a whole lot of names, and I reached out to Goldberg's agent, and, you know, the deal worked out and the timing worked out. I had some guesses that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame, but no confirmation. And, you know, once that announcement came out, that's, you know, that's really special to the event. And, you know, I'm sure there's going to be more going on with Goldberg that's going to happen leading up to our show, which is going to create a lot of buzz for us. The second guest is also a top-tier guest that is the co-headliner. And we're actually going to announce him on screen at our February 24th show. And as well, you know, at the show, February 24th, we're going to do a discount on those guests. There's going to be a Goldberg discount. The co-headline guest and all other types of passes will be on discount as well. So, you know, attending our February 24th show is good, number one, because the show we're going to put on. And it's going to be great for the fans who come and are there to, you know, get these discounts for Boardwalk Beatdown as well.
Wow, so you're kind of giving them a reward for attending the 24th show, which is, again, great great advertising, great way to, you know, promote the next product. You know, just talk about, for example, just the whole promotion in general. I mean, you're kind of doing like a like WWE does with their travel packages, right, where it's not only just the day of the event, but you're also offering other things. Just talk about, like, where, example, you got those kind of ideas from to do this, because obviously this is not just a wrestling event. You're watching comedy shows, maybe some musical acts and, you know, seminars. Where did you get the idea to do this?
Yeah, so, you know, as a business owner, I always like to compare, you know, what's working with other people, what's not working, you know, same way as Pepsi and Coke, you know, try and figure out what things work as they grow their businesses. That's the same thing I looked at. You know, I spent a lot of time at WrestlePro, where I worked close with Pat Buck and Kevin Matthews and all the guys there. And, you know, from vendoring to working behind the scenes to writing stories and booking matches. And then when I went to SWF, you know, same thing. But the only difference is I created a true friend there at SWF and Preacher Phineas James. And once we hit it off, you know, that's when we really started brainstorming. And this has been a year in the making of us launching this company. So we put a lot of time and thought into it. And, you know, to me, you know, you think, number one, what would you like as a fan, you know, as a pro wrestling? What would my son, you know, and other children like as fans going to these events? What's smart as a business person to make these things work and attract a broader base of people than go to the normal shows? And, you know, I've been going to conventions since I was a kid, and I'm friends with people who run, like, Legends of the Ring and other conventions, and, you know, you learn from them a lot, and then you put your own spin on it. Like, you know, at our convention, we're going to do other stuff that we're going to try and keep people there. You know, not just meet the wrestlers and leave. We want you to stay for the day and enjoy the experience, enjoy the fact that you have to pay to get in and do other things, you know. So we're going to do stuff like, you know, we're going to have a video game tournament, a, you know, WWE 2K tournament where you can, you know, play against other fans and stuff like that. We're going to have trivia contests, you know, for cash prizes. We're going to do, like, promo classes where you get to talk on a microphone. We're going to have, like, a little training seminar with fans where, you know, Preacher or somebody else is going to, you know, teach you basic lock holds, nothing crazy, you know, just small holds, and, you know, just to make it so interactive and that you're going to want more in next year without oversaturating the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear, Chad, that the way you're describing all the events going, you know, Jeff kind of described it pretty well, too. It's more like a access or weekend event where the fans can not only, like you said, not just enjoy watching a show, but enjoy other festivities around it, not just for them, but also for their families as well, which is great. So, you know, with that being said, it's amazing how all this is being put together. What I always find interesting as well is when, you know, promoters put things together. You know, we talk about how it's such a huge boom in wrestling right now for if you're a talent, right? If right now, 2017, Jeff and I talked about how, you know, how extensive in terms of content you could see out there for professional wrestling. I can only imagine, too, was that part of the decision, too, in terms of trying to create this business where, you know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe, you know, the independent scene wasn't as popular because there wasn't a lot of marketing out there. there in terms of social media has now been a good indication in 2017 that you said it's been a year in the making, that, you know, in 2018, with all these tools, you said you're going new school and old school. You have so much more access now to get your product out there.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely true. You know, there's good and bad in the market right now. Number one, everybody and anybody is a pro wrestling promoter now. There's good promoters, there's bad promoters, you know, there's a whole mix. Our area, for example, you know, Atlantic County, Cape May, and that type of stuff. It's, you know, the old school promoters who were down here that all left, where they promised fans, you know, X-Pac was going to be on the show, or any other, you know, star would be on the show. They'd put them on the poster, but they never had a deal with them. They a show, they would make up some kind of story. Other promoters would come, and they would, not even show up the day of the show. You know, nobody would get refunds. Everybody's like, what's going on? And, you know, so it's also a challenge down here to rebuild the market. Like, people are actually afraid to pre-purchase tickets down here because they don't think shows are going to even happen. You know, it's the same speculation on Bill Goldberg. People are like, Bill Goldberg's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. He's not going to be able to show up at the Boardwalk Beatdown, you know, because that's the kind of stuff that other promoters have done down here. Mm-hmm. So where you're correct, you know, 2017 is a year where, you know, indie promotions are at the hottest time. There's, you know, there's still good and bad promoters out there. So we just want people to see that in this market, you know, standalone wrestling is going to be the independent promotion that you want to see.
You know, if you feel slighted, for example, and you build the trust of a wrestling fan, I mean, there's no one that is as loyal as a wrestling fan. I'm sure you know it. I'm sure, for example, you've worked for WrestlePro. You see the way that they try to be fan-friendly, and they make it as real as you could possibly be, like you're at a Raw event, basically, you know? Talk about, for example, the social media and the promotion that you do. What have you learned from the various promotions that you've worked for?
Just that, you know, you have to be consistent. You know, it's not like a one-day type of thing where you just put something up and it's done. You just have to be consistent, you know, especially with, like, social media with Facebook. You know, the new algorithms, they're just super strict on letting people see what you're posting. So you have to be consistent with your posting and your growth. And, you know, you have to market 24/7. And, again, like I said, you know, it's not just social media. You have to market anywhere you can. I'll do any and all podcasts that are coming up, and you know, it's exciting to do great ones like your guys, but, you know, we'll do other ones as well. Cause you know, whether you have one person hearing you or 200 people hearing you or 1,000 people hearing you, you know, you're getting the message out there. And, again, you know, like I said, some promoters are complacent and, don't want to take the time. You know, right now my son's laying in the bed, my new baby's laying in the bed, and you know, I'm spending the time with you guys trying to make not only good stuff for you guys, but for us as well. And that's probably the thing I learned most. Just, you know, it's a total go. You know, you have to keep going.
Yeah, the grind never stops, and we greatly appreciate the moments you have spending with us, because heaven knows you could be spending some of that time sleeping, maybe.
Catching up on
sleep. Absolutely. Very tired this week.
What, for example, would be your advice? Someone comes up to you, Chad, and wants to pick your brain and as a promoter and be like, I'm interested in doing something like this. I want to, you know, be like you and, you know, and maybe branch out someplace else. Not exactly in your market, but what would be the first advice to any promoter, anyone to get in this, you know, crazy business, Brian, like saying that the crazy business that is a professional wrestling. What advice would you give someone? The first bit of advice.
First bit of advice would be don't do it.
That's what everybody says.
Don't do it because I'm doing it.
That'd be the first bit of advice. It's so difficult. It's just so difficult to be profitable. You know, number one, it has to be a majority of this is a love for the business. You know, you can't go into this expecting to make money or making a lot of money. You know, the hours that you put into this aren't going to equal what you're going to get out of it, and that's okay. But in a positive, I would say, you know, just line up the talent and build relationships with that talent that you think would deliver the most with the fans. I think that's the priority is, you know, provide fans consistent shows, to where you could build something upon, using the right stars, you know?
And also it would be consistent with your vision as well, too, because it takes a vision for talent to kind of understand, all right, if I'm going to do standalone wrestling, I know what to expect myself, basically, from the reputation you guys are building.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
so true.
Partner up with the guys also with the same vision, right? You don't want to partner up with someone that's got a completely different idea than you do, and then you guys end up butting heads, and then it, you know, causes problems for the promotion, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. I see a lot of promoters, you know, that have messaged me privately that, like, you know, they have partners and things are breaking down, and, you know, there's no heat with me in WrestlePro or me in SWF, and that was one of the issues, you know, at both of those places, that, you know, you have different mindsets and you have different beliefs and you have different philosophies, and sometimes you just can't blend, you know. It's just like a marriage, you know. You try and do business with other people, and sometimes it just doesn't click. And you have to have a divorce. And, you know, that's what happened. And, you know, I'm excited. I'm going back to WrestlePro this weekend for the first time. And I'm going to, you know, we're going to start doing business and, you know, help each other grow and stuff like that, because that's what is best for the business and best for the indie fans, is promotions working together and at least, you know, not attacking each other. So, you know, it's exciting to be going back there as well.
So we got Chad Minnis, Standalone Wrestling. Liftoff is February 24th, headlined by Tennille. She'll take on Brittany Blake. You can find them on Facebook.com/Standalone Wrestling. Follow them on Twitter at Saw Pro Wrestling. Bell time is 7 p.m.
Nobody gets that.
Bell time is 7 p.m. Tickets, you can go to their website, standalonewrestling.com, or you can give them a call at 973-902-2345. Chad Minnis and Preacher Kenny James from CZW. This is a labor of love for you guys. And then you also have the Boardwalk Beatdown on August 24th?
August 24th and 25th. That's a two-day event, yeah.
Okay, and listen, man, we can't wait to go see this live. I'm very excited. You hyped this up really well. Look forward to the 24th. Anything else you'd like to let us know here?
No, just thank you. And, you know, for our first show, we are down to under, I think, 5 tickets as of now for Front Row. So if you want Front Row, you know, get them within the next day or two, I would say. Besides that, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, everybody coming out and enjoying these shows, and I think it's going to be an amazing experience going forward.
So remember, Bill Goldberg will be there on the 24th, and remember, it's a two-day thing, 24th to the 25th, and then they're going to announce a second top star that will be there on the 24th. On the February 24th show, too. So it's an incentive for you guys to go down there February 24th. You know, we will be there.
It's what they call a tease, Jeff.
It's a tease. It's a great tease for the fans. And I'm pretty sure they won't be disappointed when they find out. Listen, I'm looking forward to going there, man. Really excited about it. Chad, you run a great ship here. I think I see nothing but success for you guys. So keep up with the good work, man.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
All right, our thanks goes out to Chad Minnis from Standalone Wrestling. Definitely want to go check them out. Liftoff happens on February the 24th, headlined by Tennille Dashwood and Brittany Blake. So another women's main event. Women's wrestling is just everywhere.
It is. I mean, we'd be a fool to think that these promotions aren't going to, I wouldn't say piggyback off, but basically use that momentum to their advantage, because right now people do want to see women's wrestling. There's so much talent. When you look at Women of Honor, when you look at New Japan, you look at Shimmer, you look at just basically women's wrestling in general, it's definitely picked up. It's where everybody wants to see it, and everybody wants to kind of be around it. And, you know, I think it's picked up a tremendous momentum when you look at it from the WWE standpoint. And again, you know, with doing things like with athletes as talented, and I've always said this, and people are thinking, oh, you're piggybacking off it because, you know, you're so in love with Tennille Dashwood, you're so in love with Emma. I mean, honestly, who wouldn't be? But I think she's very talented, and I go back to the time, and I know it was a long time ago with NXT, first ever women's championship, her match with Paige, to me, it was probably like the example of, right, this is how you go for a main event, and the crowd was so into it. So I think she still has a lot to offer, and, you know, I think the independent scene, it's not going to be something new for her. She's done that before going to WWE. Now I think because she's had so much promotion of herself, it's going to be a great learning curve for her, I feel, because I said this to her personally, guys, I don't mind sharing this. When I did get a photo with her, I said to her, you know, it's their effing loss. And eventually you're going to go back there. You're going to be better for this too, because you and I, Jeff, and I don't like to speak for you, know what you can do. The fans know what you can do. And so basically she's just going out there proving it again and building her brand. You know, maybe back, maybe 10 years ago, might be tough to be released from WWE and trying to make a name for yourself again and trying to kind of figure out what's your next step. But with social media and all the stuff we've been talking about with talent and we've talked about with promoters, right now it's just really good to build up your brand, especially when you've come off WWE TV. You know, I think the same thing will happen for Darren Young. That Cody has proven that, you know, that he could step away from WWE and build himself up and go on the indie scene and build that name. And now look where he's at. So to me, the same thing happens for Tino. Then it'll be an option for her. Do I want to go back or do I want to stay and continue what I'm doing? So I think it's an exciting time right now for women's wrestling, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for it.
Just to, again, just to emphasize that statement is that basically, you know, sometimes you have to branch out. Sometimes you have to go outside the WWE, go outside your comfort zone. But you're going to come back. As long as you don't burn any bridges, the door is always welcome. And we always think of what Al Snow said, too. He's like, you're not really, you know, you can always come back.
Yeah.
You know?
And even to your point, you say you burn bridges. And, you know, you can still burn bridges and you still can come back. That's the beauty of professional wrestling.
You never say never.
Never say never, exactly. As much as we hate that old moniker and the old sayings, it's true. Never say never. And even if you do burn bridges, if there's a need for you and there can be business conducted, it's going to happen.
And, of course, we thank Chad Minnis again once again for coming on the show. He's definitely making the podcast rounds as he presents Dental and Wrestling. One of the co-owners, Liftoff. It'll be Saturday, February 24th from Atlantic Cape May Community College, Building E. Tickets are available at standalonewrestling.com or by calling 973-902-2345. So definitely go get the tickets because not only will Tennille be there, LAX will be there, Martin Stone, a.k.a. Danny Burch from NXT, he'll be there too, as well as great matches scheduled that night. Plus,
we're looking at this card, guys. If you haven't gotten your tickets, get them now.
Yeah, plus Boardwalk Beatdown in August. He'll have Bill Goldberg, and he will reveal the second headliner for Boardwalk Beatdown on the 24th. Listen, guys, you definitely don't want to miss this.
You don't want to miss out on that.
Don't want to miss out on who it's going to be because it's going to be
huge.
Yeah. Huge. So definitely.
I don't know where that came from, but
huge.
It fits.
Is that your Trump?
Huge. Huge.
And, I mean, I don't know, dude. What about Shelton Benjamin? I feel like we have to talk about this because this is just crazy. Because how would you feel if you're driving a rental car? Because we've been in rental cars a lot the last couple months.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, I've been driving some rental cars for the last couple months, Jeff. And if that were to happen to me, now granted, I'm not a name or you and I aren't names yet to like a Shelton Benjamin. But yeah, that would concern me. I've got to tell you right now, you know, you could describe a little bit more. But as of late, I'll be definitely checking the cars that I rent and not just jumping into them more extensively. I'll be checking the glove compartment. I'll be checking the trunk. I'll be checking the engine, everything. Because I don't want something like what happened with Shelton Benjamin to be found in my rental car.
And what we're talking about is Shelton Benjamin was driving a budget rental car for 4 days. And then he opened up the trunk and there was a fully loaded gun in the glove compartment. Well, so it was the glove compartment. So, it was in the trunk. So, okay, that's fine. Glove compartment. So you think, okay, here's the manual. You
opened up the trunk and didn't find anything and then opened up the glove compartment and, you know, trying to find the manual, push the gun to the side and it's like, oh, wait, what's this?
So that's crazy, dude. So that's just weird. I mean, you know, oh, my God. And basically this is what he said. You follow him on Twitter. It's at ShelTyB803. It says, thank you at Budget Lit for your great service of putting my reputation, freedom, and quite possibly my life in jeopardy. I've unknowingly been driving your car around the last 4 days with a effing loaded gun in the glove compartment. Angry faces.
Glove compartment, not trunk.
No. How about that, man? Just think about the time we live in now, racial profiling. You never know when you get pulled over.
Not even racial profiling, Jeff. It's just the mere fact of just like, you know,
having your job in trouble in case you get found with a gun, you don't have a license for it.
Not just that. I mean, let's take it out of the context, Jeff, that Shelton Benjamin's a superstar in the WWE. He's a professional wrestler. You know, you rent something like that and you get caught with that, unknowns to you, you're going to be at fault for that, not the company, because they're not going to take blame for something like that. And it just makes you kind of question, too. I mean, I'm not trying to badmouth Budget or badmouth all the other rental companies out there because God knows the High Spot Podcast needs them for what we plan on doing, especially in April when we're heading down to WrestleMania. But you just got to be more careful, and you know everything needs to be checked now because with things being the way they are now, and I think it's a fair assessment to make, Jeff, that you know this world right now is a little bit more sensitive in terms that you know there are certain things and give you there could be misconceptions and misinterpretations.
Exactly,
it can really easily happen. You have to be careful. You have to watch yourself because, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, not only, you know, in terms of hurting himself from what you spoke about before, from a business standpoint, from work, but also livelihood. It's dangerous to have there. You don't know it. You never know when something like that, a loaded gun, could go off. So it's scary.
Man, I'm telling you, what a crazy story that is.
So Jeff, when we get to our next card, definitely check the glove compartment, and I'll check the trunk.
There you go. You got to check any, you know.
You got to check. Under the car, too. Under the seat. Under the car.
Everywhere.
Behind the wheels. Take that engine apart.
You have to nowadays, man.
You have to.
Crazy, man. Crazy, crazy stories. But glad that got resolved for Shelton Benjamin. Some of the reactions by other superstars, too, was kind of funny. But luckily, we can joke about that now that the whole situation is over.
Oh, yeah, we joke about it because nothing bad happened from it. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So we are the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Yes,
welcome to the experience that was the High Spot Podcast. You can follow us on Cheap Pops Podcast Network, Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman's baby. They are the flagship show here on the network, Between the Ropes. You can catch them every Wednesdays. Other shows include Cosmetic Geppetto with Brad and Kyle, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stick to the Gimmick with Spencer Davies and Martin Harp. Also, we are also on the Shining Wizards Radio Network, as well as B-Plus Player Radio Networks, with such great shows as Destruction 101, A Drink with Gino, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling, Outsider's Edge with Mark Adam Haggerty. So it's a bunch of stuff there, too. Also, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HighSpotPodcast, on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at HighSpot Podcast, and also HighSpotPodcast.com for daily updates on the Jersey Wrecking Crew. The next time we will be...
And Jeff, don't forget to follow our brand new YouTube channel as well. You can't forget to follow our YouTube channel. You know, the High Spot Podcast YouTube channel is already up and running, guys. We've got so much great exclusive content interviews there from stars as, you know, who we just had on the show before, UFC welterweight Colby Covington, former member of Sanity, Story Fulton, and we also have our boys from Impact, Tag Team Champions, LAX. We've interviewed Alberto El Petron, Sienna the Savage, Book Club members Marty Skrull, Hangman Page. The list goes on and on, especially the miniseries that I'm part of here, which is Adventures with the Trendsetter. I've basically put out all my content there from Exotica back in November, and now currently it'll be new content out there from our trip to Las Vegas, first time over there covering AVN, and the newest episode that's uploaded right now will be with Luna Star. Guys, if you know who Luna Star is, check her out on Twitter, at Cute Luna Star, and you'll know exactly why. It was very difficult for me to do that interview, but again, you know, thanks to her for doing it as well, and just part of a lot of the mini series that we'll be doing eventually with Adventures with the Trendsetter on our YouTube channel, High Spot Podcast.
And definitely also leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes as well. Anywhere that you find us on the network, you know, leave a review. It only takes a few seconds, guys, so it'll help us know what you guys want to hear and if we're doing a great job giving you guys the content that you're getting. Getting a lot of great content here by the Jersey Wrecking Crew, too. Once again, thanks to Cheap Pops Podcast Network and Brian Fritz. We appreciate you putting us on.
Yes,
it's a great honor, and we want to do you guys proud. So looking forward to continuing our relationship with Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Try saying that 5 times fast. And also, too, when you'll find us will be Capital Wrestling presents Masterclass this Saturday night in Hoboken, New Jersey. You'll see the champion Ken Dixon take on Arik Royal. And, of course, you'll also see his Pro Wrestling Magic on February 17th, the following week.
Love Gun.
So,
I've got a Love Gun.
So you'll find us there, too. Looking forward to also...
And it's loaded.
It's loaded, ladies.
Randy Savage or Val Venus? Sounded like Randy Savage a little bit.
If I did Val Venus right now, I think I would probably choke afterwards because he's got that... Hell, that kind of sounds like Vince, too, a little bit. So.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Hello, ladies. Definitely want to tune in for that. Capital Wrestling this Saturday and Pro Wrestling Magic the next week, too. So we're hitting up the New Jersey Independence and, of course, Standalone Wrestling on the 24th of February.
Yes, we are.
Can you do some gambling in Atlantic City?
No. My biggest gamble is the mere fact that I'm doing the show with you, Jeff. It's my biggest gamble.
And you're still alive.
Yes. Still doing this show here. And like I said, we're both a little bit under the weather. But again, we're doing it because we love it.
Through What Would Jericho Do, right?
Exactly.
How about Jericho with his new Painless single that came out?
Really good. Very catchy. I mean, I think a lot of it, like I even told you when I saw the videos, like he does love doing that slow motion type of music video.
Can you lead us out with this?
Sure. I'll lead you out with it.
Yeah? And you like Jericho's movements, right? You like Jericho? Oh, yeah.
It's very metrosexual, as Chris Jericho is.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
All right, and that's it for us. We will catch you guys next week.
And don't forget, the Jersey Red Crew does this all for you,
the crew.